Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with, along with a boogieing Alex. And today is Thursday, September the 19th, 2019 at 4 p.m. New York time. That's 1 p.m. in Los Angeles, 9 p.m. in London, 5 a.m. in Tokyo, and 6 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. Wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I'm not quite happy enough to be able to announce that Joel's back, but he is working on it. He's making progress. He gave me an update today. And we're hopeful. We can't tell you when it's going to happen because we don't know when it's going to happen. But he is working on it. And
soon as we know, you'll know.
Maybe as soon as next week. It could be. It's very possible. It could be as soon as next week that he'll be joining us again. And boy, is that going to be fun. Because I love the conversations we have. I mean, it's great. You know,
I actually had a dream about Joel last night, even though I have no idea what he looks like. It was so weird.
Well, that's not unusual for me because I don't do a lot of visualizing in my dreams anyway. My dreams are more auditory and touch and experience and, you know, just general real estate. There's not a whole lot of vision in my dreams. So that wouldn't be unusual for me.
Oh, no. Mine's very visual. Yeah.
So very unusual for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Very weird. Like him and his son came to visit me. And this was in the future, too.
Oh, cool.
Him and his son came to visit me and because I guess they were looking at colleges and decided to stop by the Cape. And I was like, and you knew you knew they were coming, but you didn't tell me. And he like popped up behind me. He popped up behind me while we were on the podcast and it was Halloween. And I was like, hi, what are you guys doing here? Like I knew him. You know what I mean? It was
so
weird. Oh my God. And I just woke up like, what?
Well, considering his son is barely a teenager, this is well in the future that you're
well in the future. That's why I woke up and I was doing the math. I was like, hold on. I was like, was that a premonition? What's happening?
we'll have to make note of this one and just remember it, you know, 5 or 6 years down the line and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe that's what he ends up doing. Maybe he ends up going to MIT. Who knows?
Maybe.
Not by the Cape on the way. You know,
it's kind of on the way. It's not on the way, but.
No, sort of. I mean, you're not all that far from 95, so why not?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It's only about 2 hours. You know, it's cool.
And a well worth it 2 hours, I might say, because first
of
all, you get to visit Alex. And second of all, you got the Cape. I mean, that's a winning combination, no matter how you look at it.
Yep.
So, yeah. So anyway, we were talking before the show today about topics and about stuff going on in our lives. And as soon as you mentioned what you wanted to talk about, I said to myself, well, that certainly fits what I've been dealing with in my life because not so much, the topic is specifically related to illness and health and so forth, but it also has just applied in every area of like my minute to minute existence over the last few days because it's just one opportunity after another to choose between, okay, do I want to focus here? Do I want to focus there? And what are the results coming out of that?
Mm-hmm.
So now that I've teased people without telling them what the topic is, why don't you tell people what the topic is?
Today's topic, we're going to delve deeper into Walt's theory about health and how it's all in our minds.
Mm-hmm. And I have to also put two disclaimers out there. First, we're not medical doctors.
Yes, we're not.
And second of all, it actually
But I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy, so I'm basically a doctor. you can at me if you want to.
Okay. She does have her own LOA Today address, by the way.
I do.
But no, seriously, it is it's a very interesting topic, and I can't actually take credit for it because I got it from Abraham Hicks.
Okay. All right.
So this is something that Abraham has told people through the teachings that Esther passes along at the various workshops that she does. And literally, they have told us that every single thought that every single disease, every single health condition that we experience originated in a thought process somewhere along the way. And at first, I was resistant to the idea, but over time, I've been paying really close attention and kind of comparing what goes on in my life, what goes on in the lives of people I know and care about, you know, what I've been able to detect. Cause I can't, it's not like I'm omniscient. I can't see everything that goes on in Alex King's life. I mean, I can see what we talk about in the podcast. That's about it.
You know? Which is basically omniscient because I tell you everything anyway. So it doesn't
matter. This is true. This is true. But nevertheless, you know, I'm sure there are some things that I don't know because, you know, first of all, it's only an hour. And second of all, it's all out there.
Okay. It's all out there for all the world to see.
Okay, well then, maybe you're not a good example. But,
well, you can't see everything in everyone's life. Well, let's just put it that way.
We'll leave it that way, yeah.
Okay.
And so because of that, you know, a lot of the time we're just inferring. We're making inferences based on what we see happen or what we hear somebody say or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And those inferences obviously are going to be tied to what we experience in our own lives. And,
right, personal experience, yeah.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think from that we can kind of conclude, yeah, there's a pattern if we can look for it, if we can notice it. I have seen that pattern.
Okay.
I've seen people who routinely are focused on X, and X isn't really a happy topic, and it affects other areas of their lives, and then over time they develop an illness, or mm-hmm. they develop a chronic condition of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Numerous authors have written about it.
Okay, so you're saying it's negative thinking in general that puts people in a bad space that deteriorates their health. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't call it negative thinking. I would call it focusing on what they don't prefer and what they don't
okay. want. But I would, because initially when you said it, I was thinking that they're like focusing on the specific issue that they have
No.
Yeah. Okay. See, that's what I was interpreting.
I don't think anybody, for instance, goes out of their way to acquire cancer or Alzheimer's.
Right.
I don't see that. That doesn't make
sense. That's okay. That's where I was confused. Yeah. Okay.
But I do believe that if you're constantly focusing on stuff that, mentally speaking, gives you a heart attack, and then you end up having a heart attack, you know, there's a certain correlation going on there.
Right. Yeah. You know? You're right.
And you see that often enough, you begin to think, you know, maybe Abraham really is right. Maybe our thought pattern really is driving what's going on with our health experience or mm-hmm. lack thereof.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw it with my mom. I talked about that the last time you and I talked.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it with a lot of different people. So is it a controversial idea? Yeah. Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you told me yourself, you had a friend who listened who wondered if I was attacking you because you talked about how, you know, if you have anxiety, you attracted anxiety, you know, and you focus on things that make you anxious. Well, I wasn't really attacking Alex, promise. I really wasn't.
I mean, it doesn't help that everything makes me anxious. So it's like, I have no options here.
Except doing the podcast for some strange reason.
No, that doesn't make me anxious. That's the one hour a day I get, you know. I'm
pleased that we're a part of the non-anxiety side of Alex.
Yes. Distraction is key.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's just distraction. I think it's actually choosing to focus on what you like.
That too. That too.
You like doing the, I think you like this doing this podcast as much as I do.
I do.
Get the feeling that you just live for the next time slot. Like, when's it coming?
Definitely do. Yeah.
That's the way I feel about it too.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that makes all the difference. Louise and I were talking last night. Mm-hmm. About stuff going on in our lives and part of it was about her health because her health has been improving.
Yep.
And also she's still not, I guess you might say she's not out of the woods because mm-hmm. doctors are continuing to tell her all these horror stories about where her condition is likely to lead to, none mm-hmm. of which have a happy ending.
Right.
And we're all in the place of, you know, first of all, we don't buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of us is willing to say, well, yeah, the doctor's right.
Yeah.
And second of all, we really do believe that if we can just find the right path, so to speak, mm-hmm. we can help her leave this thing behind.
Yeah.
Even the doctor says so to a certain extent. He says, well, there's maybe a 10% chance that you'll be able to get rid of the medication at some point.
We'll take that 10% chance.
We'll take 10%, sure. 10% is a whole lot better than 1%.
Right. Done a lot more with a lot less. So.
Absolutely. So it's definitely within range.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I've just become more and more a believer in what Abraham mm-hmm. has told us. So now that you understand that I'm not saying that you actually attract brain cancer by thinking you're going to get brain cancer.
Well, literally, that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, so every time I go to the doctors, because I do this. Like today, I called my doctor because I saw a rash, and I was like, damn it, I have shingles again. And I was like, so I went into the doctors, and I was like, yeah, I got shingles again, I'm telling you. And she was like, nah, I think it's a bug bite. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this is a wasted trip. But the whole time, that's what brought the subject up today. The whole time I was thinking, well, it's going to say, I told myself I had shingles and I got shingles.
Well, it doesn't have to work out that directly. Yeah, I guess it's possible. Sure. If you keep convincing yourself you have cancer, you're probably going to get cancer or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's certainly a very direct connection. But
yeah.
It doesn't have to be that. It can simply be focusing on a whole bunch of stuff that you don't like that mm-hmm. makes you feel rotten. And so mm-hmm. your body has to kind of match the vibration and start to feel right. Rotten. And so finds cancer as a way to do that, you know? So either way, I mean, both the direct way and indirect way, I think they both qualify. Jeffrey actually is jumping into on the topic. He says, topic on my mind, change. How do we recognize old patterns? Which is a great question. It ties in directly to this. Old patterns are what drive this kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
And then how do we change those patterns, he asks, once we've recognized them? Well, I think the second part is actually easier than the first part.
I was going to say, I feel like the second part is answering your own question.
Yeah.
Like once you realized that it's a pattern, it's a lot easier to change.
Absolutely.
Knowing is half the battle.
It's half the battle. In fact, it isn't even a battle at that point. If it's still a battle, you might want to take another look at what you're thinking about.
Listen, and that's what G.I. Joe taught me growing up. So this is what I know.
Life taught by a G.I. Joe doll. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
It wasn't the doll. It was the TV show. At the end of every TV show, it was like, knowing is half the battle.
That's where the show comes from. It comes from a doll.
Yeah, but I wasn't playing with the doll. I was watching the show.
Well, I didn't know that, yes.
It's not like you pull the string and, well, actually, I think you did pull the string and it said no to tap the battle. I'm going to ask my brother. Hashtag.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. And by the way, your friend Nathan's tuning in. He's commenting, great show. We aren't even 10 minutes into the show and he thinks it's a great show. We're doing pretty well.
Hi, Nathan. I think he does it just for the shout out.
Well, that's okay. We don't want to shout out. Hey, we love having people tune into the live stream. That's fun.
We do.
In fact, why don't we break precedent? Because we usually don't do our promos early. Let's do the promos early.
All right, let's do them now.
Get them done. So, first and foremost, Nathan, I'm going to talk to you, and we'll talk to everybody else who is not yet a subscriber. Maybe Nathan's a subscriber. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
He is.
I'm just going to pick him out, you know, just because. Give him a little extra attention. Those of you who are not yet subscribers, please become one, and it's very simple to do. Couple ways to do it. One way is just whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts, just do a search on that platform and LOA Today pops right up and there you are. You just subscribe. But if for some reason you can't find us, just go to the website loatoday.net and right at the top, you will see instructions in about 3 or 4 clicks on how to become a subscriber. And bang, just like that, you're a subscriber. Hooray!
Yay!
Very, very difficult 3 or 4 step process there.
It's
kidding,
hard.
Kidding. And JK. Of course, we want you to watch the live stream if you're able to join us, because we do the recordings now every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. So we actually have a steady time slot, which we haven't had for quite some time.
Right. Yeah.
So feel free to join us on the live stream, and you do that through YouTube, and that's always where August jumps in and tells us how that's done. So how do they do it?
Well, if you're not already watching us and you're not already subscribed, you can go to LOA Today Podcast Videos and hit the subscribe button. And next to the subscribe button, and I've been mistaken with this because apparently they changed the button and I just
found
out. Yeah. So next to the subscribe button, there's a little silver bell. And when you hit the silver bell, make sure you click all, not always, all. So you will always be notified when we're live.
There's another example of what we were talking about before the show. We were talking
before
about people who are developers, website developers and software developers and so forth, who do the front end, the part that the consuming public sees. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're not paying any attention.
No.
Here we have, it used to say always, right?
I used to say always, so you'll always be notified when we're live.
Which
was like
makes
my
sense.
Thing.
And now they've changed it to all, which makes less sense.
Yeah.
Note to developers, please reconsider the way you're doing your developing, because what you're doing does not make sense.
Redevelop your developing.
This is not the way to retain consumer base. You actually lose consumer base when you confuse your followers.
Exactly.
Does that really have to be explained?
And I mean, I'm not going to speak for the entire human race, but like majority of us don't like change. So stop it.
And that's something that I want the older developers to take notice of, because the older developers believe that the millennials and youngers love the change because they adapted to it so easily.
No, we did, but that's what we like right there. So stop right there.
Yeah.
Don't change it. Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There used to be a concept. It still exists to some extent, but there used to be a concept of legacy, of keep the old stuff and build new stuff in addition to it.
Yes. Because
now that's kind of turned into replace the old stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And it's like, that's not even necessary.
Right. I
mean, 99 times out of 100, the extra code that it takes to do the new way adds like kilobytes worth of information, stuff that will flow through your phone so quickly that you can't blink your eye fast enough to keep up with it.
Yeah.
And yet they're trying to get it whittled down so that little extra flow doesn't go in there. And that's why, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
So in the spirit of being deliberate creators, we're not going to stay on that particular point. Yep. We're going to turn it around and we're going to say, we love developers who actually create user-friendly interfaces.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, we should do a show devoted to that, to developers who actually make software easy for people to use.
Yes, I have some interfaces I could definitely give a shout out to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should do that. Maybe we'll do that Tuesday. What do you think?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right.
I like having things scheduled ahead of time.
Well, especially since you're taking on more and more of the social media announcements. So, you
know,
it's
right?
helpful to know in advance what it is that we're doing, right?
Yeah.
And I want to publicly thank you for taking on that role, too.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
It really does.
Yes.
It makes a big difference.
Yes.
So no, truly, thank you. I do appreciate the fact that you.
And then it'll be done correctly.
I like that as well.
Because I was like, what is this, our third week on the new schedule? And the new schedule hasn't been changed online?
Yeah, I haven't changed it on the website.
I know, right?
I really have to get to it. I actually thought about it today, and I said, okay, I'm going to go do it right now. And then I took a phone call, and that was it. It was done.
Yep. I had the same problem. I was going to open my laptop, and then my aunt called. And then 3 hours later, here we are.
Eventually, I'll get there. Eventually.
Yeah.
I just can't tell you when the event will happen.
I'll do it. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. So anyway, getting back to our original topic. Actually, Jeffrey has a comment I think that kind of ties into it. So why don't we start there? He says, so can we talk about change and the law of attraction, i.e. getting out of your comfort zone or dipping into the contrast?
Ooh. Okay.
Well, it does relate to the topic.
It does.
Because I believe that any time that we have thought patterns that lead us eventually to get some sort of illness or chronic condition, we are doing, well, first of all, I know we're doing a lot of dipping in the contrast. Some of us are dipping a little bit too much into the contrast. Kind of like alcohol. You don't want to have that much. You do it in moderation.
No,
right?
Everything in moderation, people.
In moderation, yes. And by the same token, now, comfort zones, that's a topic that I wish Joel was here for, because he loves talking about comfort zones.
Yes.
And I think probably he would say something like, you know, the moment that you're in your comfort zone is the moment that you realize that you're not all that comfortable.
Right.
Something close to that.
Yeah. I live in my comfort zone, so I understand.
So maybe you're
double meaning. I wasn't talking about my bedroom, but I was saying in my comfort zone, like that's how I survive. That's how I thrive. I can't, if I'm uncomfortable, it's too much. I can't handle it. So I live in my comfort zone.
And yet Joel would point out to you that you don't do any growing when you're in your comfort zone.
I know. And I'm fine with that. I'm comfortable with it.
You're comfortable with not growing. You're comfortable with staying comfortable.
I am 30, about to be 36. I am comfortable with who I am as a person. So this is it.
Okay.
Not going to say this is as good as it gets. I mean, you know, good stuff's going to happen. I'm just saying, I don't see much changing.
Meaning that you don't want much to change.
I don't think I could handle much to change.
Well, that's an interesting point, because what you're talking about is a mindset that continues.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So I guess the question is, can that mindset lead to a positive result that you really want, or can it lead to a negative result that you don't want?
See, I like to stay in the middle where nothing happens. It's neither positive nor negative. I like the void.
Sounds like Stephen Hawking.
Ooh.
Might be a Zevoid.
Ha 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 ha. That was a good one.
No, this is Stephen Hawking.
Oh my God, you just confuse everyone who's listening to the podcast and not watching. Special guest today.
Special guest today. I didn't know I could do impressions.
Oh, me neither. Dad jokes and impressions. Look at you. Now you are growing, sir.
And talk about staying in a comfort zone. I reached my height, 6'8", when I was 18. And I swore I wouldn't do any more growing after that. What I didn't realize is that you can grow in other ways besides height.
That was deep, sir. I like that.
Well, it's also true. And to this day, I'm still 6'8", but the other growth has just been phenomenal.
Right.
So now here's the question that comes out of that.
Okay.
Did I leave my comfort zone?
Obviously you had to. From what I know about you, yes, you definitely left your comfort zone a couple of times.
A lot of the times what I thought was my comfort zone, it turned out I really didn't feel very comfortable in. But I thought I did at the time.
Point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at the time I would have told you I was comfortable.
You know what? Thinking back, I feel the same way. Like when I was in my depression, like that was my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize I was uncomfortable until I got out of it.
Yeah.
So you make a good point, sir.
Well, actually, Joel did. I just kind
Joel
of...
makes a good point, as usual.
He doesn't even have to be here anymore.
Right?
He just phones it in.
Literally.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
Very often, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say all the time when we're in our comfort zone, we don't realize how uncomfortable we are.
Yeah, yeah. Now that I'm looking back, I definitely see that point. Mm-hmm.
Which makes me uncomfortable just thinking about it.
Well, it makes me think what's going to happen in the next 5 years when I'm looking back to today. Like, am I going to be sitting there? Is it going to be the same thing? Or am I going to be sitting there going, what was I thinking? I was so uncomfortable.
What do you think the answer is going to be?
I hope it's the latter.
So when you're sitting here right now saying you just want to be in that middle space where nothing's happening, you're actually expressing discomfort?
No, I still want nothing to happen, but, I don't know. How am I going to describe this?
Like five years from now, if you look back on this period where you wanted to not have to deal with any kind of feeling at all, you wanted that in between space.
Yeah.
How would you describe it from your perspective 5 years in the future?
Avoidance.
Okay.
I feel like I like things even. So if something bad happens, then something good has to come of it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's always even for me, that's what I mean about being in the middle and staying in the void.
So now tying that into our question about health, does that feel to you like it is going to lead to a healthy outcome or to an unhealthy outcome?
I feel like it'll be neither.
Neither one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like, health won't have anything to do with it one way or the other?
Interesting. I don't know. Because I always say I don't think about things unless they directly affect my life. Mm-hmm. And health definitely directly affects my life. Like, I don't know if we've had the conversation that last week I was diagnosed with CVS. So
no,
it's like, yes,
actually, yeah.
Remember I was telling you how I've been vomiting for like a year and we couldn't figure out what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out it's cyclic vomiting syndrome.
Okay.
So it's not just me being fed up with CVS and wanting to go to Walgreens instead. It's an actual goddamn receipts. It's an actual.
See, now, you just told the directors of CVS that they have to do a complete new rebranding and change the name of their store.
No, I'm just saying, calm down with the paper, people. That's all I'm saying. We don't need all those receipts. Like, put it on our phones. It's okay.
That's true. They tear down two or three trees at a time each time that a customer comes in the store. It's just amazing how much stuff goes on.
My mother asked the other day when we were getting our receipts, she was like, how many times do you have to change the paper per day?
No.
And they were like, you wouldn't even know. She was like, it's unbelievable.
The thing that's truly unbelievable is no one ever reads it.
Oh, I do. I look for coupons.
Do you really?
I do. I'm like,
oh, they
because
love you.
It's always based on something you just bought. So I'm like, okay, yes, I will need shampoo. But see, they catch you with the expiration date. Because I won't need shampoo in 2 days. I just bought shampoo. But I do get $2 off. That's how they try to catch you.
See, I wouldn't know because I never read it, but it's interesting to know that they actually have a little trick like that going
on. Yep, they do. They're like, oh, you got to use it by the end of the month. And I'm like, but today's the 29th. What do you want from me?
Oh, and the other thing is, too, it's probably a case of the paper is so cheap for them that, you know, all they have to do is get one person out of 1,000 to buy mm-hmm. something and it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not one out of 1,000, but. You know, one out of 100 anyway.
They are using one ply paper, so I understand. It's
okay, one out of 200 then.
Yeah, it's crazy though. I saw a meme that said the only way we have actual measurement of how far the moon is away from the Earth is because of the CBS receipts.
I'm curious, who was holding the other end of the receipt?
I don't know. It was just one hand, and it was okay. A CBS receipt, and it was pointing towards the moon. It was hilarious, though.
Mm-hmm.
I died. I was like, it's so true.
And it seems, I mean, we're picking on CVS here. There are other stores that have long receipts. But
a lot of places have switched to the paperless. So like everything mm-hmm. shows up on your phone app now.
Yeah, that's true. And, and then you also get places like Walmart who get a lot of criticism for a lot of stuff, but they have some of the shortest receipts around.
They sure do.
Yeah.
They're literally just the price now. It's just Walmart and the price and that's it.
That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a little note that says, why didn't you get this electronically?
Yeah. I hate when you have to choose the option, especially Kmart. Now I'm getting on Kmart because they're like, oh, do you want a paper receipt? Do you want a paper receipt and an email? Do you want? And I'm like, why can't I just do the email? Like, why is
my
there
reaction
no
is,
for
well,
that?
There's another 60 seconds for my life I won't be getting back.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm just sitting here going, oh my God.
Just give me the damn receipt for goodness sake.
Yeah. Ugh. It's like, do you want a receipt and an e-receipt? No. I don't want to be reminded twice of how much money I'm spending here.
I'm surprised they don't do psychology, not psychology, but market testing on.
Yeah, market testing.
Too many of those, you know.
I would love to be a market tester because I would have so much things to say.
That's an interesting question. Would you actually like it? Because, I mean, I've done market testing, and let me mm-hmm. tell you, it's the most boring activity you could possibly do. Yes,
well, I would only do it for interesting things, like new TV shows or, like, you know, stuff like that.
No, but my point is that most of the time you're doing really, really dull stuff so you can get 5 minutes of really interesting result.
Meh. Never mind. Cancel.
I
don't have time in my schedule anymore.
It's a good thing that computers do most of the work for us, but mm-hmm. nevertheless, I mean, you're just collecting huge amounts of really boring data waiting to finally find out whether or not your theory worked.
No. I don't care. I don't care that much. Send me all the receipts.
That's the in-between zone again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't want to have to compare. I don't have to care about stuff like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's enough clutter up here. I don't need extra stuff.
So I'm going to kind of pin you down a little bit here. I've already expressed what my theory is or what uh-huh. my feeling is about the theory. What do you think about the theory?
I think that
the thought process actually drives things like illness and health and chronic conditions and so on and so forth.
I actually have a great example of how you are probably right.
Oh, okay.
My uncle recently, I think it was March or May, just got diagnosed with stage four pancreatic cancer.
Mm,
so that's like the worst you can pretty much get, like other than like blood cancer or something. I don't know. But yeah, so he was going through the whole steps of getting ready for chemo and mm-hmm. radiation and all that stuff. And then he just stopped and he was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Mm.
And then he, you know, the whole family got together and were like, well, what do you mean you're not going to do that? That's how you get rid of cancer. You're going to die. Oh my God. But except for me, I was like, you know what? Do you. Mm. He was just like, you know what? God's going to have my back and it's going to take care of it. So he decided to go the herbal route and he's actually doing much better than other people that are on chemo because like there's this guy at his job diagnosed with the same thing. But he's doing chemo, and he looks half dead.
Yeah.
And my uncle's like, he's still going to work every day, and he's like, and he told the guy, he was like, I haven't seen you in a while. What's happening? He's like, oh, I have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And my uncle's like, me too. And he's like, what? So it's like, yeah, the, as long as you have the right mindset, like, yeah, you can pretty much work your way out of anything. So you could probably do the opposite, work your way into everything.
And that first part is what Abraham really was emphasizing.
Mm-hmm.
That literally, no matter how sick you are, no matter mm-hmm. how bad your condition is, if you can change your focus and change it fairly dramatically, you can heal yourself.
Yep.
It really can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find to be a very encouraging thought.
Right.
Not just about health, mm-hmm. but really about anything that mm-hmm. we want to attract into our lives, you know, whether it be money, relationships, homes, jobs, careers, you know, new friendships, new things to explore and to do, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
How nice to know that no matter where we've been up until now, even though we've had, you know, the same thing happening over and over and over and over again, mm-hmm. if we can change our focal pattern, we can shift that result. That's
right.
A really encouraging thing,
mm-hmm.
I think.
I like the fact that, even though I'm totally contradicting what I said about myself earlier, I decided that, well, I've always known that getting my black belt was a life goal of something that I wanted to do.
Hmm.
So recently I ran into a friend, and he, my only friend on the Cape, he goes to a karate class that's like down the street from me. Oh. So he's just telling me, he was like, yeah, I'm about to get my yellow belt. I was like, I'm a blue belt. I'm way better than you. So we got into the whole conversation about how I can kick his ass. And I was like, I'm going to come down there and show you. And then he's like, all right, do it. And then I was like, you know what? Why don't I go back to karate? And I was like, literally, like, even with the anxiety, I'm like, okay, if I can go out for an hour and be okay, I can take an hour long class twice a week and just do that for now.
Absolutely.
And it's literally only twice a week. It's only mm-hmm. an hour. Mm-hmm. So it's right around the corner. And my service dog is allowed to come. So I'm doing
good
it.
Combination. All right. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Hooray.
Yay. So I'll be a black belt soon. No, it's going to be a couple of years, but still.
It almost doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't matter. I don't care how long it takes. I'm just, it's a life goal. I'm going to accomplish it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also the fact is, despite the fact that you earlier in the show were kind of waxing poetic about staying in your comfort zone, you just mm-hmm. took a step outside of your comfort zone.
Well, karate is my comfort zone, though, because I've been doing it off and on for 20 years.
Well, then maybe you expanded it because you've been doing more off than on lately.
Well, that's a fact. That is a fact, yeah. It's been a strong 10 years since I've been in a dojo, I'll tell you that.
And that, I think, is a great point about a comfort zone, because mm-hmm. truly we can expand a comfort zone. If we keep mm-hmm. expanding it and we keep expanding it and we keep expanding it, eventually it's no longer a comfort zone.
But isn't it, though? Like, once you expand it and then you get used to it, it's your new comfort zone.
On one hand it is. On the other mm-hmm. hand, it's no longer what it was before.
So, well, that's true. So it's like you're leaving your old comfort zone but getting a new one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we do regularly anyway.
Yeah, in life, in general, yeah.
Even those of us who, like, you know, crash through the comfort zone, we're still looking for the new comfort zone.
My brother. My brother's like, you cannot have a comfort zone. You cannot get comfortable but he's like a professional everything. So he's a professional boxer, a professional personal trainer and everything. So he's like, as soon as you get comfortable, you get fat. So that's his theory.
But even there's a mindset.
Yeah.
There's a very definite mindset right
mm-hmm.
there, you know?
Yeah.
And now here's an interesting question. I think this ties in very strongly with this mm-hmm. idea that our mindsets create our health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very strong mindset that if you do anything to stay inside your comfort zone, you're going to mm-hmm. get heavier. You're going to get fat.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, since we know that what you focus on, whether you focus on it positively or negatively, doesn't matter which, what you focus on, you get more of,
mm-hmm.
what will happen with him?
He's going to get more fat clients that he gets to train. That's what he's going to get.
It's an interesting way to build a business.
It is. But businesses do that all the time. They try to hook you in with the negativity,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, oh my God, you're absolutely right. I hate my life. I should do this.
A lot of guilting going on.
Yes, a lot of guilt tripping on commercials and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes. there's even guilt tripping in our audience because they wanted me to feel guilty over having attacked you.
So we guilt choked him right back, like by telling them that they're not subscribers and they need to be.
Did we really do it in that order?
Okay.
I'm asking. I don't even remember for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now Jeffrey, as usual, is typing out some good stuff to talk about. He says, change is inevitable.
Yes.
He says, we want controlled change.
Yes.
And then Nathan jumps in and says, one good decision can change our lives for the better.
Facts.
So I think there's a follow-up to what Nathan points out, which is, if that's true, then what's happening to our comfort zone every time we're changing?
I still say it's becoming a new comfort zone.
Uh-huh. It's a more comfortable zone.
Ooh, okay.
The living room zone.
The living room zone. The memory foam zone.
The memory foam zone.
It remembers me.
But Jeffrey's point is a good one. Change is inevitable, and we want controlled change. Do we get controlled change?
No, we don't, but we want it so bad because we don't like the rug being pulled from underneath us.
And here's where I'm wondering if maybe that's a misnomer. Because control, well, I guess it depends what you mean by control.
Yeah, you can't control everything, but at the same time, like, you want to be like, I know in my life, I'm like, I don't like change unless I changed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely agree with Jeffrey that we like control change.
And yet control is literally what we're all about with trying to become conscious creators. We're trying to control that aspect of our lives.
Yep, that's true.
You know? And in so doing, we often set ourselves up for uncomfortable situations. So my question there is, well, have we really lost control?
I guess not.
So apparently, controlled change includes discomfort.
I don't like you today. You're making me uncomfortable.
Years and years of practice.
Apparently, right? Yeah, you got a couple of years on me, so, you know, you had time.
It's just because I've been doing the podcast longer. So I've
that too.
All
that
different
too.
Ways to ask questions. And, you know,
yep, that's true. It's like people who secretly make me do math. I don't like it.
Secretly make you do math? Oh, that, no, I got to hear that story. How does somebody secretly make you do math?
I don't know. They just ask a question in the right way, and then I'm like, hold on. I don't know. Or like they'll purposely give me the wrong answer, and I'm like, no, that doesn't sound right. And then I got to figure it out for myself. Oh, I hate people like that.
So while Alex is trying to figure out why it is that 3 + 5 = 10, well, we're going to see if we can.
Oh, do that.
She just gave me that look.
I forgot people can't see us both at the same time. I forgot that part. You did not see my resting bitch face. You didn't. Oh, my God.
You're very fortunate.
Seriously, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Don't do that.
It's only 8. I promise. It's only 8.
That's what I thought. But I was like, where did the other 2 come from? No, 5 + 5 = 10. Stop it. Don't do that.
They came from my imagination.
Oh, so you're using imaginary numbers.
Okay. Well, that's another branch of math, but that's okay.
It is. Yeah. I don't know what they are. I just know because I skipped that class.
I can tell you what it is. You won't be any wiser for it, but I can tell you what it is.
Well, do tell.
Yeah,
maybe somebody in the audience wants to know.
It's the square root of -1. That's what an imaginary number is. I equals the square root of -1.
Yeah, you're right. I am no more wiser for that.
It doesn't help at all.
No, it does not.
What you have to understand, why do they even do that? Well, first of all, no one can possibly calculate the square root of -1.
Uh-huh.
So what they do is they treat that as a what-if situation. Well, what if we could actually calculate that? If we could calculate it, it would create what we call an imaginary number.
And
having this imaginary number space, now we can start doing more things with math that we couldn't do before.
Yeah, that's too much.
Well, that's expanding the comfort zone.
Yeah, I don't like it. I can't pass my toes. I'm not doing it.
Well, actually, it would be more like splitting a toe, but well, yeah.
Exactly. That's too much. See?
Negatively.
Yeah. See? No. I don't even like opening the calculator app on my phone. Like it's already too complicated. I open the app, calculator app once a month on my phone. That's do my bills and that's it.
You actually do use it then?
Once a month.
Once a month. You're kind of forced to.
Yeah.
Who's forcing you?
Amazon. I have to know how much I'm allowed to spend. I got to do my bills so I know what's left over goes to Amazon. And then I also got to calculate in my Prime bill, in the bills. So, you know, it's all Amazon's fault.
All right, I got to go off on a tangent.
Yes.
I just have to, because this has been a pet theory of mine for a long time, but I don't want to voice the theory until I hear your answer to what I want to ask. Okay.
Ooh, okay. I like this.
So can you think back to, mm-hmm. I presume when you were in school is when you first developed your dislike of math. I'm guessing.
Yep. That's what
it usually is.
Yep.
Can you think back?
Pinpoint the day. But
good.
Ahead.
Okay. That's where I wanted to go with it. Can you mm-hmm. tell us what it was that made you decide you didn't like math?
It is not only was it the first day that I decided I didn't like math, it was also my first experience with anxiety.
Ah.
So I have math PTSD, to be honest with you. I don't remember what grade it was. It was probably like second grade or something. And I got called up to the board and I didn't know the answer. And my brain froze. I didn't know how to calculate the answer without counting on my fingers, which you can do in second grade. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I was the smartest person in the class and I should know this. And then the teacher was like, well, now you're going to stand up there until you figure it out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you're going to finish your peas or you're not leaving the dinner table type of thing. And now you hate peas. So that's exactly what happened.
That is very close to what my theory is.
Okay.
It's not identical to that, but it's very mm-hmm. close. My theory is the reason there are so many people who I call it innumerate, kind of like illiterate, but we're.
Clever.
The reason there's such a high level of innumeracy in society mm-hmm. is because, in my opinion, it's because math is forced on people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it
they're
is.
Forced to learn math when they're not mm-hmm. ready to learn math.
Yes.
And there's actually some evidence to show that that's true. There isn't a whole lot because almost everybody's forced through the public school system. But there are a mm-hmm. few escapees who yep. end up going to private schools. Mm-hmm. And a few of those private schools actually allow kids to kind of develop on their own, mm-hmm. at their own pace.
Yep.
One of them is the Sudbury model. And kids who go through the Sudbury model, you can never predict when they're going to learn math.
Mm-hmm.
It could
mm-hmm.
be sometime between age 6 and age 15.
Okay.
But it's
See,
going
I
to
like
happen.
That.
It's going to happen at some point.
Right.
And as long as you don't force the pace, it will happen naturally. Mm-hmm. And when it does happen, here's the most remarkable thing of all. Mm-hmm. When it does happen, they don't just learn like the first year of math. They learn the first 6 years of math, and it usually takes them about 10 weeks to do it.
Wow.
And it's because there's no resistance in the way.
Yeah.
Right? Because you had built up a whole lot of resistance out of that one really humiliating experience
yeah.
that a second grade teacher put you through.
And that was just, at that point, it was just subtraction. Like I had I was advertent to subtraction. But yeah. when it came to multiplication, I love multiplication because the tables were already set up.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. it's like everything was already, I can draw a line to what the answer is. It was just, and then I had memorized the entire multiplication tables
mm-hmm.
up until 12, I think. Yeah.
So you know what 11 times 12 is. That's better than most people.
Do I? 60? Is it? Something
no,
like
not quite.
No, okay.
So you're a little bit on the shy side.
I don't
there.
Remember what they are, but I did memorize it, though.
Close to 130.
I know my... Oh, okay, my bad. Yeah, because 12 times 12 is 144. Okay, yes. So...
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, just, I was mainly in my fives.
Yeah.
Yeah, subtraction, nope.
We stay away from that, I got it.
Yes, okay. New.
But it's true. I really do believe that is what causes most innumeracy. And interestingly enough, mm-hmm. the reason why kids who are allowed to learn whatever pace they want to, whenever they're ready to, regardless of whatever some curriculum has to say, the reason they're able to pick it up so well and to not develop those kinds of aversions mm-hmm. is because they only pick it up when they really need to pick it up.
Right. That's how it should be in life.
Yeah.
With everything.
And that's why they can learn it quickly. Because mm-hmm. they don't have time to mess around with 16.
Exactly. I ain't got time for that.
So they're going to learn it fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that the Sudbury model people learned is that the best thing you can do for a kid who's trying to teach himself math is to give him the teacher's edition of the math book with the answers in the back.
Oh, yes. Oh, I would have loved that.
Because when they have that, they learn really fast because they keep mm-hmm. checking themselves. It's not like
right.
they don't – the fears that the math teachers have is that if you give the answers to the kids along with the questions, then they'll just be lazy and always look up the answers. But that's not the way it works when you're driven to actually learn how the stuff works.
In my case, I would have memorized the answers, so I would have known my subtraction and addition like automatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In other words, you would have actually used the answers to understand how the whole thing works.
Yeah. But now they're like, show your work. And then it's like, it's like, yeah. I don't show my work. I memorize. That's how I work.
Now I'll take my theory and I'll expand it out and I'll say, mm-hmm. I think it's true for every subject.
I agree.
If you force a subject on a kid, you're basically setting that kid up to dislike the subject more and more over time.
Yep. That's why pretty much all through high school, didn't go to math class.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, nah, I'm going to sleep in. Made sure all my math classes were in the morning, and I came in after homeroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the extreme version of it, but it's accurate.
Yeah, it is.
That really is accurate.
Well, you know me, I go big or go home. And I went home.
Not just, well, you went home, which was
I went home. I stayed home, and then I came in.
People wonder why it is that so many kids are coming out of school being unable to read, being unable
yes.
to
Yes, slipping through the cracks and all that stuff, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, the cracks were created by the system.
Facts.
When you force kids to do stuff, you got to expect that the result's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking them to focus their attention, here we go.
On what they don't remember.
Like.
Yeah, yeah.
And look what comes out of that.
Yep.
You get a whole bunch of people who are just not. They're kind of messed up in the head about what they were supposed to be learning in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sad, really.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Now, the good news, this is the Abraham concept. The good news is that can always be reversed.
If you're not comfortable.
Regardless of whether you're not comfortable, if you decide to change your perspective.
Yeah, well.
And certainly discomfort's going to be a reason, perhaps, to change your perspective.
Yeah.
But as you pointed out, I think you made a pretty good case for the idea that you can retain some degree of comfort and still change your perspective.
That's true. Yep.
Because you've been doing it right here. You demonstrated.
Yes, I did.
You said, okay, here's my position. And then you start expanding the position and then you expanded mm-hmm. it further. And it just, well, an evolving position is a changing position. It's not fixed.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So clearly you can stay in a comfort zone. Now, Joel probably is having a fit if he hears that.
We won't tell him.
Actually, let's bring it up next week.
Okay.
Well, I like pushing the buttons with him because he comes up with really interesting insights.
He does. He is so creative. Oh.
Yeah. And he'll find a way to draw the strengths from both sides of that argument.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's very good at that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. Let's bring that up next time.
Okay.
So that we remember it.
I know, right?
So. Now Jeffrey's jumping in with more stuff. He says, meditation teaches us to become comfortable with uncertainty.
Does it?
Interesting concept.
Jeffrey, explain.
I can kind of buy into that.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure I'd express it that way.
Yeah.
I think what I would say is meditation helps me to let go of my concerns and fears about uncertainty.
Mm.
Which isn't quite the same thing, but it's along the same lines. But if I meditate now, especially now that I have kind of broadened the definition of meditation, kind of
right.
similar to the way you broaden the definition of comfort zone, I have done
yep.
the same thing with meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, meditation isn't sitting in lotus position. Meditation is something I do when I take a walk. It's something
yeah.
I do before I go to sleep. It's something mm-hmm. I just kind of do it in a variety of different ways. And when I'm meditating, I am getting myself into a space where I can be okay with that thing I didn't like very much.
Mm.
Doesn't mean that I like it any better. It's just mm-hmm. I'm okay with it being there, and it goes its way, and I go my way.
Yeah.
No, it goes over there, I go over here. And it's kind of a way of letting go of it, saying, you know what, I'm just not going to be a part of that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be hating it, not going to be loving it. That's just.
See, living in the void.
I don't know if I call it a void, but I understand what you mean. It's sort of an in-between space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I call that more of indifference than void.
I don't think I would call it a void anymore. I think I would call it limbo.
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 How low can you go?
I'm talking more like, you know, heaven, hell, limbo. That's what I'm talking about.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Catholic version.
I guess.
Okay. Catholics can write to alex@loyx.net.
That's alyx@loyx.net.
Now Nathan points out the surfer thinks he is in control, but he has no idea how deep the water is.
Ooh. Actual factuals.
Although I think the really good surfers actually do have an idea of how deep the water is.
I feel like I can tell you from a sense that, cause I have a fear of deep water.
Mm-hmm.
So like in gym class when I was, you know, you have to swim the length and I was swimming the length and I would immediately, even with my eyes closed, it would immediately stop right in the middle, right before it dipped down.
Mm.
And I would just stop and I'd be like, no, I know the deepness is coming. I'm not going with my eyes closed. So yeah, I don't, you know what, Nathan? I take that back. I don't believe you. You put your fortune cookie away, sir.
No, I think his fortune cookie is perfectly legitimate because it's all perspective anyway.
And that's it really is all perspective.
Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of the movie Momentum Generation about the surfers who grew up around the...
Oh, yeah, the one you told me about?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I can't remember which one. It's a group of about 10, 12, 14 of them. And I'm never sure which one is which. But one of them came up with an invention. He invented a special suit for surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And if, for whatever reason, you find yourself in deep waters and you fell off your board and you're deep down and you're struggling for some reason to get up to the surface, there are people who have died. In fact, one of the people in the movie died in the 1990s because of some situation when he was surfing.
And they made that undertow is no joke.
It really isn't. He invented a suit that you can inflate instantly that will float you to the surface.
Oh, smart.
And he says, since that suit has been used, there have been no deaths from surfing.
None.
Wow.
Among
people who use that suit.
Oh, okay.
Not in general.
Well, obviously,
But among those who use that suit, no one has ever died from a surfing-related incident, which I think is pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Hmm. And that's going to be somebody who invents that because he has an understanding of the depth of the water.
A developer.
What happens under there? What?
A developer.
He's a developer, that's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's developing a concept, and he turned that concept into reality starting with his mind.
A life-saving reality, I like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, a very cool one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That group of kids now, men, young, actually not even young men anymore, I think they're in their 40s and 50s now.
Wait, first of all, 40s is still young. Let's
just say they're not the same age when they first started surfing, which was
no, they're definitely not. They're definitely
20s. You know, that's
yeah, they definitely have surfers. A couple of gray hairs going on right now.
Just a few,
yeah.
But what I was trying to get to is that group has really produced some interesting results.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of them is a many time world champion surfer, so that's an interesting one all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Another one who was one of his early rivals ended up creating a brand new form of marketing.
Really?
He ultimately got kicked out of the surfing circuit.
Ooh.
For reasons I can't even remember, but they were detailed in the movie. Mm-hmm. And as a result, he lost his sponsorships.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how they survive, right?
Yeah, that's how
and
it works.
He ended up creating a new concept. He went to, after going through some depression, some serious stuff, one of his friends in the group helped pull him out. And then he went back to the sponsors and said, you should sponsor me just for being out there as a surfer. Just for being a famous surfer who knows how to surf and who helps promote the world of surfing. And he got them to do that.
Wow.
He created
that is bold.
A new kind of marketing.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and he actually helped others of his friends who were also world-class surfers who ended up leaving and working in dead-end jobs and getting depressed and all kinds of stuff. He helped them get the sponsorships they needed. So now they're doing their stuff too. So they created
I'm
going to
start emailing companies and saying, you should give me money because I'm me.
Go for it.
I'm
going to. Give us the result on that.
Like, do you not know how awesome I am? Google me. You should.
I love it. I love it.
Me and all my 22 followers.
Well, that certainly does make a difference. I mean, they had more than 22 followers, so you might want to work on that a little bit. But
I have like 100 and something, but I'm well under.
All
like,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's closer to 200. It is, but you know.
And it isn't even the number that matters. What matters is how influential are you?
Yes. Yes.
If you're influential, mm-hmm. buyers are buyers.
Yeah.
You know, that's all that advertisers really want anyway is buyers.
Well, unfortunately, nowadays, how influential you are is reflected in how many followers you have. That's what they go by.
Oh, yeah. That's the number one metric.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, even that's starting to fall apart.
Yeah.
I mean, you have things like you've seen the websites. Usually they're like news websites that have, you know.
No, then I haven't seen them.
They have an unlimited number. Oh, okay. Well, maybe not. But they have an unlimited number. Other websites have it too. They have these huge numbers of ads. You just like an endless scroll of ads down below the article.
Yeah.
And inevitably, they're all just clickbait.
Yep.
And even if you click on it, nobody ever reads it. And if
you're
And even if you read it, you never interact with the advertising. So it's basically a waste of money by the advertiser.
It is.
But they have huge numbers of followers. And the followers are measured by the fact that they clicked on the clickbait.
Oh, see, that's not right.
Well, it may not be right, but that's the way that kind of thing has in the past been counted. And what's happening now is that the advertisers are saying, well, I guess it isn't so much the number of followers that counts.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is how closely are they following you.
Mm. Okay.
And that's really what the surfer discovered. He said, these people were really following me because they knew my reputation. They knew how good of a surfer I was and so forth. So it was going to be worthwhile for the sponsors to have me put their logos on my surfboard or whatever and help promote them in that way. And they would continue to see the logos. And so they would get the market exposure they were looking for, even though I'm not participating in competitions.
Hmm. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think
it does.
And it reinforces the idea that we create our own realities.
Mm. And we're back.
We're back to where we were at the beginning. So we didn't spend a whole lot of time today talking about the role between what we focus on and our health, but we kind of did it independently.
We did.
Kind of like outside of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. We expanded the comfort zone. To a larger topic, but it really does hold true. What we think about, what we focus on is what we get more of in general, as a general rule of thumb.
That's true.
And everything that happens in between is the journey.
Mm, I like that.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice way to draw everything to a close.
Mm-hmm. So,
or as Nathan is saying, our greatest love is in being ourselves. Our greatest gift, rather, is in being ourselves.
Facts. That's
the point, Nathan.
I am a great gift. You are absolutely right, sir.
Well said. Well said. Oh, we have a Trump troll here.
Oh, yay!
He says, Trump, my Joy says, I voted for Trump. Any of you liberals mad? So we're trying to...
Why are you here? Did you click the wrong button?
Maybe he clicked the right button. Maybe he's leaving his comfort zone, or maybe he's expanding his comfort zone.
Maybe.
Weird. I sense skepticism there.
Some trolls just live, their comfort zone is trolling, so.
I suppose I broke the rules by saying, you know, by recognizing that there was a troll.
You did. You broke your own rule. It's cool.
But then again, I'm expanding my comfort zone.
Oh.
So with that uncomfortable thought in mind, thank you very much for bringing up the topic.
You're welcome, sir.
Hopefully Joel will be able to join us next week and that gets even more fun when he's back.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to that. But in the meantime, whichever way it goes, whether he's here or next week, you and I will be here. So
we'll definitely be here.
Definitely tune in next Thursday and tune in every day. Thank you to both Jeffrey and Nathan, who played a major role in the conversation today. We appreciate that.
Appreciate
it. Most of all, I always want to make sure I recognize our listeners, because without the listeners, this would not be nearly as much of a fun show to do.
Exactly.
I mean, and they keep growing in number. Did I tell you what the latest numbers are?
No, what are the latest numbers?
When I add the YouTube numbers and the podcast numbers together, we're averaging 325 listeners per episode now.
Ooh, yes.
We are growing.
Come through. Coming in hot.
Just like a couple months ago, it was like 275. It's coming. It's good.
Yeah, I noticed how much the YouTube subscribers have been going up since we started hashtagging.
Yep, it definitely has played a big role. So thank you very much for that. Appreciate that.
New t-shirt. Alex is always right.
Is there going to be a new hashtag too? Do we add that to the show every time?
Oh!
See, hashtag. That was my idea, folks. Mark that one down.
Walt won.
So now that I've had my game for the day, thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.